Spiegel and Holmes.
Hi, Boog.
We're a very important radio show, you know?
Yeah, you are. So very important.
I mean, do people have any idea?
That was my sincerity there. You want me another reading of that?
Yeah.
I'm going to count you down, okay?
In three, two, one. So very important.
Oh, perfect. That feels nice.
Yeah.
Afternoons on the Score.
Yank tickets laying around. Let me know.
Coach, we do have some tickets laying around. Simple Minds Alive and Kicking Tour 2025 with special guests Soft Cell and Modern English. You can check out the show Friday, June 20th, the Huntington Bank Pavilion at Northerly Island. Tickets are available on LiveNation.com. Be caller 6 right now to 312-540-0670. That's 312-540-0670.
I had never known that this song by Soft Cell is a cover until someone sent me the song, Gloria Jones. It's an old soul song.
Yeah.
I had never known that.
I went down a Instagram rabbit hole on it, and it was interesting that it is that. Oh, Taylor.
Don't touch me, please, Lawrence.
I wasn't planning on it.
I know, but I cannot
stand. But it's good to set boundaries.
I cannot stand the way you tease. Actually, I like the way you tease radio segments.
Yeah,
do it very nicely.
Well, they pay me the medium bucks.
that's gonna change.
Wait, did you get $1 million deal?
No, Joe Kelly. No, not yet. But, you know, give it time.
We'll see.
Just send them the book. Send them the book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. No longer are we worried about... We didn't even tell Tanny. What? Tanny, we're not worried about Wojo anymore. You know who we're going after now? Boys to Men. Mariah Carey. Because we've been number one now for 28 weeks. And that's more than Boys to Men, End of the Road. That's twice as long.
Which is why we're going to sing End of the Road together. Here at the end of the show.
That's not what we're going to do.
We're not?
But maybe. We've been singing a lot today.
You don't know. You don't know. Kevin Warren would like it.
We don't know if that's in the algorithm, but maybe.
The Kevin Warren soul playlist is just starting to grow. But that's not why you called. Jed Hoyer was on the radio station this morning with Mully and Haw. Lots of newsy nuggets to discuss, and they discussed them all. And he talked about the impending activation of Ian Happ, which has now taken place. And we do have a Cubs lineup, which we'll give you in a couple minutes here. And they also asked him about Pete Crow Armstrong hitting leadoff. And that's been working nicely. So who's going to hit leadoff when Ian Happ comes back? Here's Jed.
I think he can definitely do that job for sure. I mean, I think we have a couple really good options. I think Ian did a great job in that spot. He sees so many pitches. He gets on base. I think when you have him and Tucker, you know, hitting 1-2, there's so much traffic on the bases for the other guys. I think it really helps. And then with Pete, you know, Pete's a different style of hitter. It's just he's dangerous right away. You know, the way he's hitting power, and obviously, you know, if he gets on base, he creates havoc. So I think we have two really good options, and you know, unclear how we'll go going forward. You know, my guess is that Ian will start leading off again, and Pete will probably not go quite as far down in the order. But you know, obviously, Craig and I will talk about that. But I think that the position has evolved. I mean, you think about, you know, honestly, how much criticism we got for trying, you know, Kyle Schwarber in that role. I remember in Boston, we got a lot of criticism for putting Kevin Youkilis in that role, and people thought that was kind of crazy. And I do think that now, as you know, Shohei Ohtani, you know, is leading off, and it's not a surprise to anyone that you would put a huge power hitter in. This is a guy that's dangerous at the top of the lineup, and Schwarber's not doing it this year, but he did it in the past with Philly. So, you know, certainly I think to myself, if you're a pitcher, you know, starting off a game, and you know, you're worried about your first pitch of the game getting hit for a homer. I mean, it's unsettling. And so I do think that that's, you know, getting your best hitters the most at bats and also having some fear in the opposing pitcher right away, I think there's real value in that.
So that's Jed Hoyer, I think, trying to be respectful.
Very diplomatic answer.
To Pete Crow Armstrong and the job he's done at leadoff, and respectful to Craig Counsell and letting the cat out of the bag early in the morning. And then Ian Happ is on with the midday show, and Marshall Harris asks Ian about those comments from Jed.
Where will you be hitting in this batting order? Because we were told you'd be the leadoff guy when you came back, but then Jed Hoyer this morning kind of sounded like there was going to be some type of discussion.
Yeah, I guess we'll all know when the lineup's announced.
All right.
That's it from Ian Happ.
Oh, a little snippy.
Gotta be some discussion. Huh? I guess we'll find out when the lineup's announced.
Well, the lineup has been announced.
Who's hitting leadoff?
Ian Happ is hitting leadoff because he should be. But we'll get back to that in a second.
Yeah.
The interesting part is not him and Tucker. It's Happ, Suzuki, Tucker, Kelly, Swanson, PCA, Horner, Turner, Shaw.
That is interesting on a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. PCA goes all the way back down to six, even though he's been killing it. I thought maybe they'd put him four.
Weathers is left-handed, but Pete's also been hitting left-handed pitching.
Sure, but Carson Kelly has had incredible at-bats, and Council loves his at-bats, especially against lefties. So, man, so you said Saya's second?
Yep.
Move Tucker to third?
Tucker is third, so...
Against the lefty.
Go against the lefty.
Get Saya more plate appearances, assure him of more plate appearances against the lefty, and force the Marlins to consider making a change early and end up with Tucker against a righty.
Yep.
At some point in the middle of the game. I get it. So
Look, here's how I see it.
Okay.
And I like what Jed had to say about it, honestly. Like, Ian Happ's a better choice to be the leadoff hitter. And they, I don't want to say got away with, because it was more than that. PCA did a great job leading off. I do think that he is better served in another place in the lineup. For me, depending on matchup, but almost all the time, he would be hitting in the top three.
Who, Pete?
For me. But, okay, he also provides some stuff for you in the six hole.
Oh, my God, for sure. You've got some possible pop down there. And you said Dansby's in the five hole, right? Dansby's at-bats have been incredible.
Yes.
Dansby has been terrific the last, three and a half, 4 weeks, not just the results, but the at-bats themselves.
Oh, there was one lineup thing that I should have mentioned but didn't.
Because I'm the lineupista.
You are. And it's funny because we were talking about this before the show, too. Saya's playing right field. Tucker's your DH.
Tucker's your DH tonight.
He had a bad night in right field yesterday.
And he also got banged up a little bit trying to steal that home run. He got banged up there, so that's probably what it's about. And Saya's been pretty good in left field for the most part.
I like Saya a lot in left field, but that's Ian's position.
I don't think Kyle Tucker is a very good right fielder.
I'm with you.
And I think that is not something I knew. And Chris Tannehill was on this right away at the beginning of the year. Right field down there in Houston is a hell of a lot easier to play than right field in Wrigley or in other places.
Yeah, it's different. And it's not, I don't think it's effort. I honestly don't think that he tracks the ball particularly well.
That could be. I see him playing cautious. I see some cautiousness. And that could be a lack of comfortability. Or it could be a lack of desire to get hurt. I don't know. I just see some caution, which you can get away with in left field. Like, and I don't know that his skill level in right is going to affect the sticker price.
No.
I feel like it should.
Nope.
I feel like it should.
You think he's not a $500 million guy playing like that?
Our guy Dustin Rhodes, who we make fun of a lot, said this morning, Kyle Tucker did not play like a $500 million player on a Monday night in Miami. And I texted him. I said, you know what? That is a valid sports radio comment.
Got to give Dustino his credit when credit is due.
I thought that was, it's a little inflammatory, but it's valid. It's valid. Last night it in right field, and that ground rule double, man, at Palencia, that he gave up.
Someone texted, Kyle Tucker be loafing.
No loafs. Rod Marinelli said no loafs, which is weird because his daughter's restaurant had terrific bread. They made really good bread.
I'd be shocked if they didn't. Right?
Yeah, of course. But I mean, how do you have a restaurant without loafs? You know what I mean? It's difficult. I guess you could have rolls, something like that. Tortillas, perhaps?
Tortillas. You're speaking my language, dude, now.
Don't fill up on the bread at La Strega, please.
Yeah, whatever it's a you mistake. Do, yeah.
Well, you won't because there's no loaves there. So it's all going to be fine. Look, Ian Happ deserves to hit leadoff. And Jed was on the Marquee broadcast the other day and said that their offense, that the tone is set by Happ and Tucker. That was his perception on the season. I think that's true. I think Ian Happ sets a really good tone. He'll ambush every once in a while, but he takes really good at-bats. He grinds them out.
What I think is really good about that, and this is like the concept of managing, not managing a game, but managing people. I think that Jed understands that Ian Happ is somebody inside that clubhouse. And even though you have Tucker here, and you have PCA ascending, you want to make sure that other players don't feel like they're being left behind in this. I think it was a very magnanimous and smart way for Jed to talk about Ian.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that is true. You want to hear a great baseball number?
Sure.
Last night, Kyle Schwarber hit his 300th home run. And he's going to hit a lot of them. And
where you got him max now? I got him at like 460.
Yeah, he's going to get to four. And if he stays healthy, he could get to five, especially the way that he's now hitting lefties. I mean, like my respect for that guy is just off the charts. He might get to 500. Here are the fewest career hits needed to reach 300 career Major League Baseball home runs.
Okay.
So these are the guys who hit home runs the most among all of their career hits before they got to 300, right? Kyle Schwarber's number one. Mark McGwire is number two. Aaron Judge is number three.
What he's doing is unreal.
Harmon Killebrew is number four. And Adam Dunn is number five.
I like that.
So those are the dudes who hit the biggest percentage of homers among their total hits. So it's not just like home run or nothing guys, three true outcome guys, but there are some sitting right there in there.
There's no doubt.